This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
You can't begin this hour with me laughing.
We're supposed to be serious.
Because it's what? It's the power hour.
But when you start doing that, I can't even focus right now. 888-SAY-ESPN.
It's just too much 888-729-3776
is the number. The Cowboys are a mess. Someone sent a to the @BartonHahn Twitter feed when we were talking about having a segment that has now already been kiboshed, where we eat different levels of hot sauce on like wings,
yeah,
and see if we can get through the segment. And somebody used one of the Cowboys fan memes. The one Cowboys fan that you had mentioned, he had a hat on backwards, a cap on backwards, and then a cowboy hat on top of it, and he just looks broken.
Yeah.
And he said, this is what I would look like after the hot sauce challenge. And I said, that's accurate. but that poor guy looks broken.
Like, I feel for those type of guys, the way he looked, I feel if he has a partner or a mate. Like, because he's not going to be available the whole week. Like he going to be in his room eating ice cream. Like, he just broke up. Like his dog just died.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you're basically like, I'm gonna go remote this week.
Yeah.
I can't come in. Like, that's – I just can't imagine. Somebody actually said, why are you still talking about the Cowboys? You understand how devastating of a loss that is to these fans?
This was supposed to be the year.
The year.
Oh, man. Michael Irvin has so much swag every week with Stephen A. just talking cash, money.
Yep.
12-5. You lose to the San Francisco in your house?
They're going to let you down. If you're a Giants fan, how – like, did you get any joy out of that? Anything. Like, was there a party? Because you had a miserable season, if you're a Giants fan. Right? Miserable.
Yeah.
There was nothing redeeming at all. Was there one thing redeeming about the Giants season?
Nothing.
Maybe that, okay, the redeeming thing is that they got rid of everybody at the top. Right? The GM's out. The coach is out. If there's anything redeeming, that's it. Am I wrong? Like, am I missing something?
No,
Kadarius Toney and he showed you something? Was that redeeming? That wasn't redeeming enough. Was there something, anything, that you come out of this and you're like, well, at least we know this. Like, the Jets are horrifically bad this year.
Yeah.
But what came out of this is that dude, Michael Carter, is the guy.
Elijah Moore
guy. Like that.
Both Michael
we
Carters.
Got a running back. I could say that. Right?
You got a slot receiver, too. Elijah Moore.
We also got a left guard. Like, yeah. There's some pieces, right? And, by the way, you're also getting a Lawson next year without even having to do anything. He's just going to appear. You never got to see him this year.
Yep.
Like, there's stuff like that that I felt good about. But I'm looking at the Giants season, and I'm going, anything? Nothing.
Meh.
So did you get anything out of the fact that the Giants had not just a loss, but a rip-your-heart-out, devastating call-in-sick-the-next-day loss?
Yeah, it's like, heh-heh.
There's nothing. Like, if you're – that's what it is. It's the heh-heh.
It's like
it's like watching the Patriots get smoked.
Like 12-5. Meh. Got you one extra week than I got.
Yeah.
We both on vacation at the same time.
Like, if it wasn't the Bills who did the beatdown to the Patriots, if it was Kansas City or just, you know, anybody else, the Bengals, like, if you were a Jets fan, you really could have relished in that.
Yeah.
But because it was the Bills, you're sort of like in that uncomfortable place of, wow, the Bills look like they're going to be kicking everybody's butt for the next 10 years.
It's because you were nervous, right? It was because, oh, my God, do you mean that Bill Belichick has replaced Tom Brady and this kid is going to be around for 15 years?
That's all we were told.
Now you're like, oh, I hope they give him a long-term contract. Sign him 10 years. I can deal with that
right,
for 15
exactly.
years.
Yeah, Mac Jones, good. That'll be the guy. At least it ain't Tom Brady. Yep. He didn't look like Tom Brady in that game. But Josh Allen looks like that dude. And, oh, by the way, the reminder was what? Jets could have had him. Oh, Giants could have had him, too.
Yeah. Giants. Jets could have had him as well. Who feels worse, the Giants or the Jets? They could have had Herbert, and they passed on Herbert, and they passed on Josh Allen.
Oh, man. I'm
talking about the Giants.
It's just a weird place. But the Giants have Bart. They're starting over again at the very top, right?
Yeah.
And
they need leadership.
And there's... You know, there's going to be names that are pushed around about the GM. And they want to go GM first. They want to go somebody at the top first, the football guy first, and then the coach. So it doesn't sound like they're going to hire a coach and give him the autonomy. It's the GM comes in, and then he's going to find his coach, right?
Yep.
Which I'm sure, of course, that Marin Tisch will be involved in the coaching hire.
Of
but
course.
Still. here's the problem I have. Who are guys that are football people that have been in the league a long time that would be available for this job? Anybody that's had any resume. It seems like it's going to be a first-timer, right? Like, you're not bringing in Mike Mayock, who just got, you know, released, obviously, by the Raiders. Who's it going to be? Who do you think they should be targeting?
Well, from all indications, a lot of people are talking about this kid from – not kid. I mean, I don't know if he's assistant general manager for the Buffalo Bills, right? And what happens is when organizations are successful, usually you want to frack from their organizations. But I heard a name that I'm very familiar with. And listen, I'm not just saying, hey, this guy, you'll take him because don't take him because I know him and because personally I know. I'm just talking about DNA, right? We talk about DNA. And the Giants' DNA was about building a team with tough players built from the offensive line inside out. It's about accountability. It's about building through the draft, being able to do that and get, good, solid veterans when you need. And the person that I saw was Joe Ortiz. And Joe is from Baltimore. And when I think about the heritage of the Giants and I think about the Ravens, I think about similar organizations that's ran like a family environment. But also I think about an environment where, people kind of work their way up and they stay there for a long time. Right. And they kind of promote from within. So Joe Ortiz was there and found me and like Bobby Boucher, like out in the woods.
It was him,
Phil Savage. Well, he came work me out.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who did the workout. He's the one who told me, hey, I'm not going to tell you what you did, but this was the best workout that I conducted.
He's the one who said that to you.
Yeah.
This is all those years ago, too. So he's been there.
This is 2001.
He was – well, all right, right now – so for everybody who knows, Joe Ortiz is the director of player personnel for the Ravens.
Yeah.
And you've known him for a long time.
Yeah, he was
– So he's worked under Ozzie Newsome,
Eric
right?
DaCosta.
Yeah, and now he's under Eric DaCosta, right.
Yeah, and before that, he worked underneath Phil Savage because Phil Savage at the time was the head of college scouting. So he was the one that came out and administered the personal workouts. So he came out and did the workout for me, and then they didn't believe the numbers that he wrote down, thought he was fudging them. So then they sent Mike Smith. But what I'm saying is he's a guy that's a football guy. Like, he was there before Joe Douglas was there. He's paid his dues at this point 20 years. That was 20 years ago he found me.
1998 is when he started with the Ravens.
Right. He found me in 2002. So he's been there 20 years paying his dues. And he's been underneath some of the best. And the Ravens have been one of the most consistently ran organizations. It hasn't been up and down like Buffalo, right? He's been underneath some of the greatest minds to ever do it, right? Ozzie Newsome, he was under him for 17 years. And now under Eric DaCosta. And you have to say that every time the Ravens bring somebody in, you're like, man, where did they find this dude? That's what the Giants need. Anybody can make the slam dunks, the home runs. You're supposed to be able to find Andrew Thomas, right? He was projected number one. You're supposed to be able to find a Deddy Dimes. But can you find the guys that nobody knows about and build your team that way? Because that's what's going to set up, long-term commitment and consistency, right? So you think about, this year, Owe, right? Nobody had ever heard. They were like, okay, well, this guy is never going to play well. Well, what did he do? He came in and he made the all-rookie team. Right. After not having any sacks at Penn State. Right. You talk about, taking the flyer on Lamar Jackson. You talk about nobody knew who Mark Andrews was. Right. Nobody was like, oh, let's beat the door down for Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He's all pro this year. Right. Nick Boyle. Like, you need somebody in here that knows how to see past what the tabloids say, what the Mark Mayock say, what those guys say.
Speaking of the tabloids, the New York Post actually has mentioned him in a story today.
Ah.
So you and just again, for the record, Bart was saying this yesterday.
Yeah.
So this isn't like as if we're reacting to the story, but the timing is perfect. The Post has a story all about Ortiz. In fact, Ian O'Connor, who we've known for years, who is now writing with the Post, he used to write for us at ESPN, he has a Ravens official quoted as saying, Joe almost never makes an evaluation mistake. He had several other people like calling him a true scout and, that this is a guy they should be looking at. And since 2009, this is the one that really caught my attention in the story. Since 2009, when his role expanded into like overall scouting. And,
Phil Savage left to become general manager, then he got elevated to the head of college scouting right behind Eric DeCoste.
The Ravens have drafted 16 Pro Bowlers and 6 first-team All-Pros. In that same time, the Giants drafted 6 Pro Bowlers and 2 first-team All-Pros.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that the Ravens consistently have had higher draft choices than the Giants. The Giants have been in the top 10. They've had some
Ravens in the 20s.
Much bigger, like much greater opportunity to draft big time.
Okay.
And look at the difference. 16 Pro Bowlers to 6 by the Giants, 6 first-team All-Pros to 2 by the Giants in the same amount of time. Do you think he could help?
Yeah. How many people ever heard of Marshall Yanda?
Yeah.
Third-round draft pick. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. How many people ever heard of Za'Darius Smith? Oh, he's just the best pass rusher that they developed for Green Bay who got a big payday. How many people ever heard of Judon? Listen, you never heard of these people. You never heard of Adelius Thomas?
Bart Scott out of Southern Illinois?
Chad Williams. Will Demps, who the Giants got. Like, I can go on and on as far as not the slam dunks, the easy ones, the first-round draft. People that I'm talking about sixth round, seventh round free agents.
And taking Lamar Jackson where they took him.
And everybody laughed.
He's a
receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's
saying we're not letting him get to the second round.
Yeah. They moved back into the first round to get him.
Think about that. We're not letting him get to the second round. And then, of course, the success they've had with him. So it's a name. It's certainly a name to think about. It's a name to watch. And we'll see where they go from here. But you know what? He won't be the only. I mean, there's going to be other teams. You know, Joe Schoen, by the way, who you mentioned from the Bills.
Yeah.
The Bears really have their eyes on him. So that's, that could happen there. But it is interesting to see if the Giants would go in this direction. It's outside the family. And, of course.
But it's kind of in that family tree. These are two organizations that's kind of been at the hip with each other. You talk about, Fossil being on the on the staff with the Ravens as a consultant. You talk about the matchup they had in 2000 for the Super Bowl.
The only question would be, it's New York. I mean, he never has gotten a job anywhere. Like, he's never left.
That's because he's never wanted to.
He's happy where he is. But would it be the right kind of play? Like, Joe Douglas, who, again, has the Ravens background to him as well.
Yeah.
In New York, he's an understated guy. You not see him at the podium. He's not a big, talker and all that stuff.
Joe's the same way.
And he's the same way?
Same way.
Does that work in New York? Would that work against him? All those things, of course, come up. But I don't think the Giants want that guy.
Yeah, he's not going to let the pressure get to him. He's not going to be in a hurry. Like how Joe Douglas was not in a hurry to listen to, spend money, do this. Nah, bro, we got a plan. It's proven. It's decades and decades of information. We know what we're doing. You'll thank me later. Don't worry about it. We're not about to go ahead and just throw money at people that's past their prime just because it's a big name.
Very interesting. Oh, that's interesting stuff. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We go to Josh in Jersey. Josh, what's happening?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good.
All right. So you know what? There is nothing more gratifying than having, after a tough season for the Giants, to watch the Cowboys lose on such an epic blunder. You know what I mean? I think even if they got crushed, like 41-10, it wouldn't have been as good as them doing something like this again.
It's the only thing only redeeming thing out of this season for you as a Giants fan. It has to be. The only thing that you can feel good about is that their misery continues as well, and no one in your division has advanced. So everybody, is in the same place. But obviously, Josh, your bigger concerns for your team are where they go from here and to not stay where you are, which is at the very bottom of the division. Thanks for the call. I had a feeling there'd be at least one.
Yeah, they got to get out of some bad contracts. You're going to need some people that can maneuver and know how to get out of them. I mean, Solder is done, of course. But, you paid Leonard Williams a bunch of money last year. Bradberry played great 1 year, second year. You overpaid for Dory Jackson. Kenny Galladay is like you stuck with him. You can't do anything with him till year three. Blake Martinez is going into year three. You got to make some really tough decisions. And it may get worse before it gets better as far as, the talent pool.
Well, let's take Kirk in Virginia. Kirk.
This is about the Cowboys. What happened in the fourth quarter the other day with the Cowboys can only happen at home when they are not concentrating on what they're doing. They're not disciplined enough. And the reason for that is that McCarthy, he does not have enough clout with them to be able to hold them responsible and accountable for what they do and don't do. And that's Jerry Jones's fault. And as long as he runs that team the way he does, the Cowboys are not going to really be a serious contender. They're going to win some games, but they're not going to, they're not tight enough of a responsibility of players. And if he got McCarthy, Jerry Jones got McCarthy because he really couldn't get anybody else that was good. And until he changes his ways, he's not going to.
Well, he's never changed his ways.
Yeah, he's not going to change his ways.
He's old as fish. He's old as dirt.
I mean, this is
who he is.
He runs the it the way he wants to. And I mean, how's it working out for him? It's the most valued franchise in North America in all the sports.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing everything right except getting that championship, which he was able to do.
Reminds me a lot of Dolan, man. Reminds me a little bit of Dolan, man. And listen, he maybe needs.
Well, the difference is though that Jerry's very, very hands on and does a lot of talking.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Knicks, doesn't do any talk. He doesn't talk. He's not hands on.
Yeah.
None of that stuff.
Okay.
Like it is. It's not really the same. But I think it's fair to say this though. What's similar is the Knicks and what basketball means to New York City, and the pressure that's on players the minute you get. Look at Julius Randle right now.
Yeah.
Look what he's going through.
Yeah.
Where he looks, and I'm only basing this on visual. So for players, understand this.
Miserable.
This is not like, I'm not saying this is who you are, but what you show. He looks miserable. He looks like this is the last place I want to be right now.
Yeah. Pressure.
And body language, people feed off your body. They see it and they look at you. Like Bart, you walk in a room and you have a big smile on your face and your energy is infectious and everybody just like gets up because that's who you are. But if you were somebody that came in the room with your, you know, like Eeyore, with your head down and, oh, bother. Like,
hi, Bert.
Like, everybody's going to just have that same feeling. Like, oh, here's Bart. You know, nobody's going to be excited. Like, that's just that's reality of life.
Yeah.
And so but I've always said it's the heaviest jersey in the league.
Attitude reflects leadership.
But Cowboys are the same thing. You put that jersey on, like Dak. Who said, the caller we had, Dak Prescott is not a superstar quarterback. And I said, well, he might not play like one. But he is a superstar because he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
It just comes with the territory, as do the expectations. It's not easy to win there.
Yeah.
What Jimmy Johnson did now, when you really think about it, was miraculous. It was really incredible what they built.
But that was early in Jerry's days where he was less hands-on. But now that I think when he won
Dallas
those two
championships. Dallas.
But I think when he won those two championships, I felt like he became emboldened, like he had something to do with it. And then now his resume is that no matter what, is he won 3 Super Bowls as an owner.
Yeah.
So now, and plus he played in college at University of Arkansas. So then he thinks he knows more about
football.
Than a typical owner who's never played the sport.
I think that's all fair. But I do think there's just more intensity because of how much they love football in Texas, in Dallas, and around this whole country. There's
Texas
Dallas fans
football,
everywhere. Yeah. And I just think it's akin to the Knicks here. In New York, I think it's the same kind of thing.
The football version of the Knicks.
I do think it's the same thing. Mike's been a fan for a long time for the Dallas Cowboys. Mike, how are we feeling today?
Well, I'm a little better than I was Sunday. what I call to say is that I'm very, you know, Cowboy fans really get, you know, they really argue with me a lot because it always ends up the way I said it ends up. And y'all doing a tremendous job, but the next season is not here yet, and we already lost. The reason why I said we already lost, my quarterback and my head coach puts fault on the referees.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They don't look, anytime any man or woman don't look at their shortcomings, you're not going to ever get any better.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I agree with you 100% because they're not taking ownership. Dak had to throw that caveat in there. Oh, I was bumped into from behind.
Well,
if you're looking for the ref because you understood the situation.
The ref is the one who bumped you.
Yeah, he was running because he was trying to do his job, and you didn't allow him to do his job.
How do you not – honestly.
Because I'm telling you, because in practice, I guarantee you, the center has spotted the ball. Like, just imagine if we allow players to spot the ball. Like the center just spot the ball right.
They should even have just a coach do it.
Yeah,
just say, no, you can't do anything until I touch the ball. But you know what, though? That part is true. I did not like, of all the things that happened after the game, what I didn't like was when Dak was told fans were throwing garbage onto the field,
yeah,
and the reason was is they were mad at the officials, and he said, good, they should be. And I felt like
– I don't think that was a badly officiated
that's not really the
game.
No, and it that's the last thing you should be saying.
Yeah.
The last thing you should be doing is trying to pin this on the officials. Now, maybe fresh out of the game, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're just going to go, you're going to, you know, put blame on it. That's fine. But I'll tell you, that's the last thing a leader should be doing. And I'm hoping that when he does have his last interview before the season's over, pack up your stuff and go, he makes mention of how that he shouldn't have said that, and they've got to be better at all this stuff.
He won't.
He did take some responsibility, obviously, that he didn't play well enough and all that.
Yeah, but as a friend, but he throws that in. But even though I didn't play well, he suggests that,
that
we could have got that playoff. Yeah. We'd have won.
I don't love that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll continue with your calls. Also, ask the question, should Kyrie Irving reconsider his vaccination status? Because Kevin Durant will not be available now for a month and a half, and what kind of impact this could have on a Nets team that's already been sort of struggling before that injury. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Wake up and get up with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
They're in the playoffs because they ran the ball well. They played defense at a level that was lights out. They hit pay dirt on a lot of their free agents. That's why they're in the playoffs.
Key, J, and Max. Weekdays starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
Well, you got the calls regarding a lot of Cowboys reaction here, including, of course, Giants fans who are thrilled about what happened over the weekend. I just was wondering, when your team sucks, do you revel when your rival has like a just complete gut-wrenching, rip-your-heart-out loss? Mm-hmm. Or like, do you just want to drag them into your misery? Is that the type of fan you are? If you are, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Before we do that, though, so the Brooklyn Nets, they lose to the Cavs. The Cavs, by the way, I mean, they've won five in a row. Yeah. They're a game and a half out of first in the East. What the hell?
And they went to the West Coast and took care of business.
They did.
So, hey, maybe they are the Atlanta Hawks or the Knicks of this season.
They're in that mode right now. The Nets have lost six of their last 10. They're now at 27-16. They've dropped to third because the Heat have been on a nice little run here. And the Heat have also... they moved up the charts. They have 28 wins already, and they're up to second place. They're pretty much virtual tie with the Bulls for the top of the East. But the Nets, the devastating news for the Nets was losing Kevin Durant now, which is going to be about 4 to 6 weeks with the sprained knee. On basically, what was just an accidental fall.
You always get concerned.
Could have been worse.
Oh, he's over 30.
Yeah, no, it could have been worse.
Can't rush him back.
But he's been through a lot, like injury wise already. So it's not like you rush him back, and he's been playing great. But now you're without him. And you know you're going to be without Kyrie for pretty much every home game. James Harden on his own. And he's got to now make something out of it. And there'll be a lot of pressure on him. People will actually say, is James Harden good enough to at least keep the Nets afloat? Well, here's the question. Should the Nets even want to stay in the top four?
Nah, I wouldn't. I love to go on the road. Going on the road is like a home game. Well, you got the band back.
But at least you have Kyrie for road games. If you have games 1-2, you know, 1-2, 5-7, those are pivotal games.
Yeah,
you have them on the road. You know, you have three you know, three top players that can always be available. Somebody actually mentioned this on Twitter, and I thought it was funny. What if the Nets played the Knicks in the first round?
Ooh.
You can't play the
you
whole
can't
series.
Play at all.
Which is, again, bizarre.
But that's barbecue chicken, though.
But people keep thinking Kyrie's eventually going to come around. Something's going to change. He keeps leaving the door open.
He's dug in,
but the media keeps asking him, now with Kevin gone, does this change your stance? Will you get the vaccine so you can play in every game? Because your team right now is going to be without you and Durant for a majority of the season over the next 4 weeks. And Kyrie stays dug in.
Do you feel any more pressure to change your stance because Kevin's going to be out potentially for a couple months and the team needs you?
See, that's what I feel like ends up coming into a lot of this culture of basketball and sports and entertainment is you bring in the team and you bring in situations that we're in, and Kev's going to heal. Kev's going to be okay, you know, and we're going to have to deal with that as his teammates. But in terms of where I am with my life outside of this, I stay rooted in my decision, and that's just what it is.
Understand the decision, but I hope he understands, Bart, that when he talks about, well, this is what comes up in the culture of sports and the culture of entertainment, mm-hmm. Kyrie, like, and I'm not even trying to say this to be sarcastic, it's just, but that's the business you chose.
Yeah.
Like, you're in this business, and you understand, like, what comes with the business are people that are inspired to watch teams win and play. Like, that's the foundation of everything. I mean, if you just want to play basketball because you like playing basketball, then just go do that.
Yeah, go join the N1 mixed tournament.
I mean, you were the pro athlete. You can explain this better than anybody. I mean, is that how you feel? Like, it's not about, you know, team and what's important to the team. Like, it's what I want to do as an individual. How do you feel about that? When you hear him say that, and again, this isn't about he shouldn't. This is now more about the whole idea that we're overstating the idea of being there for your team as if we're wrong to feel that way.
Yeah, but he's saying this is about medical. This isn't about me toughing through a sore ankle or a compromised knee or a hurt back. This is about something that, you know, that I have to deal with for the rest of my life, and this is something that I've had a conviction on, so I'm not going to change. If I've lost millions of dollars, Kevin Durant being injured isn't going to make me come back for that. Like, Patty Mills, next man up, guy's going to have to step up. My part and my role, my part and my role is when I do play to give the best effort and perform at a high level. But that's not going to be – I've stated before that that's not going to be, you know, the case.
The biggest concern is if this ever gets to a point, like I mentioned before, if the Nets are playing a game 7 and they're home, and he's not playing. That, whether you agree or not, the reality is the reality.
Yeah, but that's a
he
risk
will
that he's
never be.
To.
He will. How could you? And if they lose that game, it's for a fan. It's unforgivable.
Yeah,
from a fan, it's you got to think of it that, don't you?
Yeah, but
and I mean, this is not about right or wrong anymore. This is just about the mentality of why we care about sports.
But he's giving up millions of dollars because he believes in it.
I don't care
No. What I'm saying is he's giving that up, so he's not going to change his mind.
Well, I don't think
he's going to be. He's going to be stuck in his convictions because he's going this far. So he's not going to all of a sudden change his mind and do a 180.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm just saying, like, this is leading towards something that could get really, really ugly. Let's take Mel in Queens, New York about this. Mel.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't think this is a Kyrie fault issue. This is a Nets and an NBA and a New York City issue. Bottom line is this. If they really want Kyrie to play, what the Nets should say, listen, to the league, we can't pay the fine. Allow us to play the fine so we can allow Kyrie to play. Well, problem solved.
The league already made that rule.
The league already made the rule
when they sent out the memo.
No, but the league can't allow you to openly break the law.
Yeah,
they're saying we comply with the local.
They what?
They reduced the days from 10 days. Remember, you had to quarantine.
No,
that's
because the state did. No, that's the state. That's not the NBA.
What I'm saying is that the league are the ones who are saying that, listen, we're not going to allow you to play the rules. So the Nets should put pressure on them and saying, listen, we want to pay the fines, so let us pay the fines. We want to spin the narrative, make it only like Kyrie's fault. No, it's not only on Kyrie. A lot of people have some say in it.
Mel, let me ask you a question. Mel, how would it look if the league decided that they were, for one player and one franchise, going to say, go ahead and circumvent that local rule? that opens up a Pandora's box now about so many other things that I don't think it's this. I just don't think they want to do it. I don't think they want to do it.
But that's how it's been. Think about this. Kyrie's the only, look, only in Golden State. I mean, only in San Francisco, New York.
I understand.
Imagine how that looks, where they're the only players that can't play. So it's the same thing. So when it's profiting them, or it's making them look good,
They don't profit by Kyrie not playing. They don't profit if Steph Curry doesn't play.
I'm sorry, Bart, but Mel, and I know you're not going to agree with it, but I'm telling you, this is the stance. They have decided as a league, and they have done this, and the union has done it too, where they are going to promote the idea of vaccines and how important they are to get, right? That's what they're going to do. They've been doing that. So how does it look? I mean, think about how that looks if you've spent all this time and money promoting the idea of getting a vaccine and how important it is and all that stuff, and then decide we're going to let a team break the rule that is in their city so that this guy can play in a game. It's contradictory, and it would look terrible for the league to do it, which is why they're not going to do it. I've reached that point where I have stopped saying, I don't even want to get into the whole idea of the logistics of it or the ideology of it or anything. Kyrie is who he is. He's his own man. And this is the decision he makes. Okay. And he stayed steadfast with it. Okay.
Yep.
But I'm just setting it up for what could be coming. And he's hoping something, and he said it. He's hoping something will change before we get there. That's what he's hoping for.
He thought the new mayor would change the rule. Looks like he's sticking with it.
He's
so that's
not going to change
one.
It. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe now the next thing would be the pill, I think they're talking about, right? That you can get it in a pill form or something natural that someone else, you know, will come up with that isn't a pharmaceutical that you can also take that will be then legal or not legal, but acceptable,
yeah.
An alternative. And then he'll say, okay, well, I'll do this because this goes along with more of what I feel like. And until then, that's what he's going to do. I'm just saying, the majority of people that aren't really interested in this conversation, all they want to know is, I root for this team.
When is my start?
I want to win. And I've been waiting to win a long time. And this year, you're not going to play in a game 7 for us. And that is going to be extremely frustrating. And I just wonder again how frustrating that can be. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take more of your calls on this and other things, including, again, if you're a Giants fan, I really want to know, just did you revel in the Cowboys' loss? Because that is something, I guess, it's all you had, right?
Yeah.
Certainly all you had.
You can't go either.
We had the last Manning cast. And if you missed it, in the final Manning cast, there was one last shot at the Giants, and Eli's response was, as usual, classic. Man. But first, I want to tell you to join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena. It's a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han presented by Progressive Insurance. So the last Manning cast was last night.
Yes.
And, I mean, that was a great success.
Resounding success.
So we'll have K-Rod now for baseball, whenever the hell we get baseball. Mm. But we'll have that, Michael Kay and Alex Rodriguez. So that'll be the alternative programming for baseball on Sunday night. That'll be fun. But there's no NBA one.
Yeah.
And I had a suggestion from somebody. The Van Gundy brothers would be epic. I mean, Stan and Jeff,
they're
just watching games.
Great communicators.
They are. They tell funny stories. They rip on each other. They both don't mind being ripped on. And they give you coaching perspective as well, right? From the two of them, they can watch a game and give you, again, Peyton, give you some analysis, things you don't normally see. Like, so they'd be great. The only problem is they don't work for the same network.
Yeah.
Jeff's with us and Stan's with TNT.
Well, TNT, I always look at TNT like the NFL network. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, you can be able to go do all this
stuff.
NBA
TV is the NFL network.
Okay.
Yeah. Although Turner does own NBA TV. But still, as much as they are still broadcast partners with the NBA, I can't see how, because what would they say? Well, whose network gets it?
Both.
See, the problem, it has to be on national broadcast. So would you do it with an ESPN game or a Turner game, a TNT game? And would you want to lose I don't know. It would have to work. It's too bad it couldn't work out because those two would be really good.
Yeah.
It's hard to find that kind of element where you have their brothers. They have they're good communicators. They tell great stories.
They've
been there before. You know, Stan's been to finals. Jeff's been to finals.
Is it any more brothers left? Well, I like Hubie Brown though, but he's like 1,000 years old.
Yeah, Hubie was a great storyteller.
Yeah,
and he was awesome as a analyst as well. But anyways, so in the final Manning cast, of course, we had to have one more shot at the Giants. So listen, as Peyton Manning was watching the Rams go for a quarterback sneak. On a goal line, and it made Peyton think about bringing up something. I'm sure Eli was like, really?
Wow.
I've never seen that before. I thought he got in there and then got kind of turned around afterwards. Eli, at least the Rams are sneaking it down by the goal line, unlike the Giants who sneak like
he's in right
in the
there.
Open field.
Touchdown.
Yeah. No comment.
Handle that the right way.
In the Rock, a little laugh reminds me last week of Damon Whittier laugh when I brought up the Viagra. It's like it just adds a little something to it.
Can you BS translate what no comment actually meant from Eli?
He's like, yeah, that was dumb as hell. Yeah, that's some dumb stuff.
Amazing, isn't it? Like that will live in infamy.
Like that type of stuff gets you fired.
Yeah, and yes, it certainly did.
Right.
Yeah, it did. So I'm being told I cannot pick the Bills as my team to watch in the playoffs. Even though Josh Allen, and it's well documented, was my guy coming into the draft.
That's your guy. So are you loyal to your city or are you loyal to...
And they're New York based.
Are you loyal to the city or are you loyal to the person?
What do you mean to the person? I'm not loyal to
Josh Allen. Josh Allen. Like, if you're a Josh Allen fan, you want to root for him to have success. You want to be your guy. Like, a lot. That's the new age.
I invested so much time into watching Wyoming football, way more than
you
I should.
You feel like you got nothing out of it, but a lifetime of pain because he killed your Jets.
And he's going to continue to do that, apparently. So there's that. So what am I supposed to do now? Do I have a team to pick? Should I pick a team? What do I do?
You go for the team that your team least hates.
Like, I can't really.
Like anybody
can't
that's
root
ever,
for can't root for Mahomes and Chiefs. The AFC team.
Anybody if everybody
can't root for Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Am I going to be a Packers fan now? I just feel kind of odd.
Yeah.
It's so random.
You can root for the underdog.
I got to find
Tennessee.
A do like Tennessee. And the Titans, the Jets used to be called Titans.
Aha.
There's
no
something
spoon.
There. We had Derrick Henry on the show. He's a friend of the show.
Yep.
That gives me good reason. And a good friend of mine is a Titans fan.
Maybe
that's the way I go.
There you go.
We shall see. Well, we'll have more fun tomorrow, Bart. I'll see you then.
Aha.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.